Yesterday afternoon, I'm home and I see this text from Haley, one of our producers. Heads up, Lviv substation hit by missiles. Lots of power out. Wow. So I immediately thought of reporter Joseph Lindsley, who we talk to every morning in Lviv. And I'm anxious to find out. Are you okay, Joseph?
Yeah. Bob, good morning to you all. Good afternoon from Lviv. It's quiet at the moment today. I was in the same cafe yesterday where from which I spoke with you all yesterday. I had so many meetings, and there was another air raid alarm after we finished speaking. And I was meeting with some of the foreign volunteers, the foreign soldiers from the UK and the US, as well as with some Ukrainians. And all of a sudden, it was a little after almost half past 8 o'clock in the evening, the lights flickered. And then everyone got quiet because we knew we heard something in the distance. And as soon as the cafe was quiet, we heard that awful, you know, that heinous sound of a missile exploding. And then a few seconds later, I was followed by several more repeats. And the power came back on and remained on in the center, and our internet and phone worked. And immediately, you know, probably all 20 people in the cafe are on their phones communicating with people around the city as we were trying to figure out what was going on and what was being targeted. That sort of information, in the moment, we can't share with the public, but Ukrainians certainly share that amongst themselves, on sort of secret applications. After a few minutes, I went out into the streets. There were some old soldiers that had been sitting the entire time at a sidewalk cafe drinking coffee. And standing next to them, I watched smoke billowing over the city. It turns out, and there's different, the government has said a couple different things about it. The New York Times has reported that 6 power substations were hit along the rail corridor. And so it seems that once again, I mean, obviously the whole world knows Lviv is the supply and logistics center for Ukraine. And that is exactly what the Russians have been trying to target. This is the first strike we've had in a few weeks. And as we approach this, you know, ominous and strange May 9th military holiday in Russia, this has people rather concerned.
And apparently the goal of the Russians with those missile attacks, Joseph, it was to destroy the transport infrastructure. Is that it?
Yeah, but these were along the rail lines, and to some degree, it seems that the missile defense system here has continued to work, you know, at least mostly effectively, and there was a little bit of disruption in the rail traffic, but everything now is continuing, that does seem what they're trying to do. But I think a lot of it also is, I mean, if you go back to the first 24 hours of the war, when the Russians it seemed they were attempting a blitzkrieg, they hit airports all over the country. So to limit transportation options here, that was their first act. And it also had a psychological effect. It seemed like they could, you know, that by hitting airports from east to west and north to south, it seemed that they could, cripple Ukraine quite quickly. Obviously, that has not worked. I think that there might have been some psychological element to yesterday's strike, just reminding people in the West that Russia is could still change everything if they wish to.
I was reading about the exports of Ukrainian commodities and how those strikes and others may affect us here in the grocery store because this is harvest time, isn't it?
Planting season is beginning, but Ukraine is always it is such, I mean, the soil is incredible here, and I think it's one of the top, for example, strawberry exporters. Cherry exporters, mm-hmm. top 3 in the world. Mm-hmm. It's Ukraine's bigger than Texas. It's the largest country that's entirely within Europe, and it has a productive agricultural economy. So yes, the world will feel this. I mean, right now they're. A lot of trade is limited. There still is trade going through the borders, the land borders with Europe, but it's limited. And if we were to lose that, the world would certainly feel that quite quickly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bob.
No, go ahead, Joseph.
I'm saying, but the other trade thing to consider, and this is what the European capitals are considering now, is regarding Russia and oil. And the EU chief has said that, you know, the European Union wants to, by the end of the year, ban Russian oil imports. But the prime minister of Hungary is refusing to go along with that.
And as far as the harvest goes, they need to take out more than 5 million tons of grain in order to be ready for the new harvest. So it's something that we will feel here for sure if this continues. These missile strikes in Lviv, Joseph, have they completely destroyed your sense that it's okay to go out for a morning jog, as you've told us you do, and sit in an outdoor cafe and have some coffee during the day? Can you still feel good about doing those things?
I mean, we feel strange. And for example, as I was sitting in the cafe yesterday, you know, the people around me are hardened veterans of, you know, from America, from the UK, from New Zealand yesterday evening. And I could even see in their faces, you know, some concern. And one of them said, wow, this is the first time, you know, I've been in a under fire zone, you know, in 10 years. And so there is this sense, but yet people still continue to, you know, even yesterday evening, people stayed at the cafe and spoke and walked home. And there were people in the streets. I didn't hear any music last night. There might have been. And today I just went for a run. It's sort of it was a sunny spring morning here. I went for a run, but, you know, now I wouldn't even say where I went for the run. Mm-hmm. But I was realizing that if I do hear an alarm, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, how fast can I run to a place where you can get away from a potential strike? And that was in my mind throughout the run today for the first time.
Well, our listeners certainly appreciate, as I do, the way you personalize what's happening there. A number of emails and texts after our conversation yesterday saying, be sure to tell Joseph we're thinking about him. We're thinking about all the people of Ukraine, and our support certainly has not diminished over time as this war continues.
Well, it's great to hear that, because I think, you know, people here feel, and we talk about this a lot, that, you know, one of Putin's strategies, having seen how Ukraine, you know, was winning over the hearts and minds of the world, and realizing that maybe he couldn't win on that level, to simply get people a little bit bored about it, you know, and, you know, sometimes, like, you know, the Johnny Depp trial seems to be captivating a lot more attention now, you know, sort of move on to the next cycle.
Yeah.
And I think that the Russians would hope for that. So when we hear that Americans are still with the people of Ukraine, and everyone, all the, like, today as I walked around, I even saw British license plates, people that have driven here to come and support Ukraine. And so you see that support here, but then to hear comments like that also is encouraging, and as I said yesterday, gives us energy.
Yep, 100% behind everybody there. Hope you have a quieter evening, Joseph, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Great, thank you, Bob. Good day.